Today's gospel is rich in meaning and understanding for those who truly fear the Lord. In order for us to understand the message in today's gospel, we must understand that the modern interpretation is a grave error. For we hear very often that there are many who say we may hold out hope that Dives, the rich man in today's gospel, was preserved. That is, he was merely in purgatory and that he would have hope of eternal salvation. And yet, if we were to hold this, because fallen human nature always cringes from any aspect of the gospel or sacred scripture that points out to us that we must all stand before God as our eternal judge. And so we are constantly looking for those points in scripture in which we misinterpret the mercy of God and how mercy is truly attained. And yet, if we were to hold with the modern era that there was hope for Lazarus, it would put us at odds with, amongst others, St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, St. Ambrose, St. Gregory of Nazianzen, St. Clement of Alexandria, St. Bonaventure, and St. Pope Gregory the Great. And indeed, most of these are doctors, and many of them fathers of the Church. And yet, not one of them held out any hope for Lazarus. Indeed, St. John Chrysostom will point out to us that in his interpretation of Scripture, many times in the account of our Lord's public ministry, he passes judgment on nefarious characters, amongst them Dives. Indeed, the very fact that we have the name of Dives will point out to its historical accuracy. For we notice in the gospel account that our Lord does not give the name of the rich man, and we will come to see the significance of this through the prophet Isaiah. And yet, St. John Chrysostom tells us that in the case of nefarious men like Herod, like Pilate, and like the Pharisees and scribes, our Lord clearly passed judgment on them. Indeed, with Judas, when he said, "Son, wilt thou betray me with a kiss?" As soon as Judas went through with the kiss, it was an act of his own condemnation. Indeed, St. John Chrysostom would point out that when our Lord stood before Herod, he stood before him silent because Herod wished to be entertained as if our Lord was some type of clown brought before him to entertainment. And St. John Chrysostom says it is perhaps the most frightening scene in Scripture, that the Word incarnate, the Word in the flesh, who came to speak the way of truth and to speak of the good things of God the Father, in front of Herod would remain silent. And indeed, he would treat Pilate in the same way. For when Pilate asked, "What is truth? What could our Lord do?" For truth was standing before him, and yet Pilate would not listen and would not enter into the mystery of the incarnation. And so, we must be thoroughly convinced that we all must seek God's mercy, and we must do this in the light that we will all, each and every one of us, one day stand before our Lord and Savior as our eternal judge. And so we see very clearly from the account of today's gospel that it is our Lord himself who definitively declares that there is no hope for this Dives, for he was truly a profligate man and one like many in today's day, in today's era, and we will see that from the very practices of his life that Cardinal John Henry Newman had pointed out. For our Lord does not use the proper name of this man in the gospel, and he does so in accord with the prophet Isaiah, who said of those who do not fear God, that when the Son in the flesh came, he will say, "I will not remember their names with my lips," because they are sons of the darkness, and the Son of the Eternal Father will only speak of those who are sons of the light, that is, those who have entered into the mystery of his incarnation and has accepted the message that he came to deliver to all mankind. And so, let us look at the life of this rich young man. Dives was said to be, from tradition, a wealthy young man who had succeeded to a very good estate in life. He never had a care in this world, nor did his five brothers, who he does not seek Abraham to go to in order to really prevent them. He does so for his own self-interest, for he knows in that place of torment where he is consigned, anyone who, as it were, behaves like him and enters into that abode increases the suffering of those who are already there. And indeed we see from our father Abraham that we have no hope for this Dives, for he makes a request of Abraham. We can say, if we want, it is a sort of prayer, but we notice very clearly that Abraham will have none of it. Abraham rejects it entirely as a legitimate request, because Abraham knew full well that those who are in the abode of torment will always have an agenda, and his agenda was to simply mitigate the suffering that he was already experiencing. And this again, according to many of the doctors and fathers of the church, it is not merely an opinion of modern theologians, but it is truth taught by the very doctors and fathers of Holy Mother Church. And so this young man, who did not have a care in the world, did not understand that his wealth was given to him by Almighty God, not to serve himself, but for the very glory of God himself. And so his pride would not let him conclude anything else but that his riches were to be used in order to enable him to take his pleasure. Everything was the best in style, or it was the latest fashion of the day, and this according to the experts of high living, those experts who into our day and age are often the perverts of the modern day. And so it was that Dives would follow the popular opinion of men, and he would put all his hope and all his stock in using his wealth to pursue everything that would bring him pleasure. Everything he did to attract, according to Cardinal Newman, the eyes of the world and to gain the applause of his equals. And he points out that his equals were his companions in sin. They were, in a word, scientific sensualists, and they are common in our day and in our era. And so many will declare that this reading has no meaning for modern man, save that we all have the opportunity, we all have the hope of God's mercy, and that is true. But when we understand today's gospel, we understand that the scripture is the living word of God. Every word in it has a message for this generation and each generation that will succeed it. And so he was, as we say, one of the scientific sensualists of his day. That is, men who are sensual and carnal as flesh and blood can be, with eyes and ears and tongue steeped in impurity, every thought, look, and sense witnessing to or ministering to the evil one whom they are ruled by. And that is what we must understand. All those who live their life according to the precepts of Dives, the Pharisees and scribes of his day, are ultimately witnessing to or in some cases ministering to the very evil one himself, the enemy of all human souls. And so the one who rules them is the one whom they serve. But with exquisite correctness, as Cardinal Newman would point out, with exquisite correctness of idea and judgment, laying down rules for sinning, heartless and selfless, high, punctilious, and disdainful in their outward deportment, and shrinking from Lazarus, who lay at the gates as an eyesore, who ought for the sake of decency be put out of the way. And so ultimately we reflect as to who this just man Lazarus really points out to us. And we see very clearly from that last statement of Cardinal Newman, he ought to be put out of the way for decency's sake. Why? Because Lazarus was a constant reminder to Dives of the call to charity. He would pass him, according to Cardinal Newman and some of the doctors of the fathers in church, up to 5 or 6 times a day. And each time he walked by, his heart became harder and harder, and his life of sensuality gained more and more of a grip on him, until he got to the point where he could not serve God, but he could only ultimately serve himself, and in doing so would serve Satan. And so it is our Lord himself who is manifested to us in this poor beggar, Lazarus. For was he not also a poor beggar? He, who was the creator of all things, who holds everything in the palm of his hands, who can, as it were, nothing can be sustained without God's hand. Everything we see at this very moment in this chapel, outside of this chapel, and throughout the whole of the universe, at this very moment, is sustained by the creator of all things. And if he were to stop thinking of even a grain of sand, it would simply cease to exist. And yet, he comes as a beggar for souls. And so, he would, as Lazarus also, lay at the gate, but it would be a different gate. He would lay at the gate of the sensual city, which our Lord clearly said Jerusalem had become. He would lay at the gate on the wood of the cross, like the poor beggar Lazarus with his sores, and he too would be exposed, although prevented from the ignominy by the merciful God the Father, to the dogs. For the Romans in the crucifixion had thought it out, as sensual men do, right down to the very greatest with scientific accuracy. And so the one crucified would be hung, enough above the ground where the dogs could not get to any vital organs, but that where they could tear and rip and lick at the flesh, and ultimately gnaw the very flesh away to the very kneecap. And so we see very clearly that this is how the Lord stands, lays, as it were, on the wood of the cross in order for us, in order to prevent us from going into the sensual city, which he himself tells us Jerusalem had become. And so Dives was a man, as most modern men do, and particularly those who have been entrusted with God with authority, who are turning everything upside down, that is, who declare all that Christ came to taught will not bring man happiness. And so, in turning upside down all that is of Christ, they make right side up all that is of Satan. And that is the modern way. Everything that Christ said would prevent our happiness, the modern world declares to be the source of our happiness. Everything Christ said will bring us happiness, the modern world says will not bring us happiness. Everything that Christ says will bring us condemnation, the modern world says will bring us blessedness. And so we must reflect upon the mystery revealed to us in today's gospel. For it is the charity of Christ who lays, not as a tyrant, but who lays on the wood of the cross at the entrance to the sinful city. How many pass by him, wagging their tails like the dogs of old, mocking him and telling us, this Christ must be put away for decency's sake, for he is a constant reminder of our sinful self. And so we too must, like the Pharisees and scribes of old, enact laws that justify our sinful ways and seek each and every moment to put away Christ. Christ, who only did one thing from all eternity. The love of the Blessed Trinity, of each person for the other person, spilled out in the act of creation. And so our existence is based on the Trinitarian love. And it is only the Trinity that can bring the human mind and the human heart the joy and the happiness it seeks. And so there are too many about going about, members of the mystical body, trying to compromise with the ways of Dives in the ways of the Lord. There is no compromise. There can be no compromise. One is either for Christ or one is opposed to Christ. And if we are in opposition to Christ, we too will stand to be judged as Dives. Or if we are for Christ, we too will be stand to be judged as Lazarus. And so let us exercise that faith of our father Abraham, the faith in the incarnation and all that Christ has done. And let us always remember that with faith in Christ necessarily comes, as it were, our faith in his mother's maternal mediation for all mankind. And so it was the charity of Christ and Mary that will prevent all those who stop by the wayside and look upon the Savior crucified and the mother standing at the side of the Savior, allowing her immaculate heart to be impaled for the salvation of the world. If we stop and meditate upon the mystery, we will be prevented from entering into the sensual city. If not, we will be like Dives, and our pride will grow stronger and stronger in each day. Our youth will be lost, and in losing our youth, we too will be lost, because we did not have the courage to stand up for Christ in a society that has embraced Satan. And this is brought forth to us each and every day. Blasphemous mockeries of the Christ that would not even have been considered tolerable in any of the former worst of ages are considered now forms of art. The very destruction of the love of the Savior in every artistic endeavor, if it can indeed be called art, that in some way attacks the mystery of Christ and the mystery of the Incarnation through music, through art, or through any other media, is necessarily an attack on Christ and a destruction of the love that is supposed to reign over the minds and hearts of every man, woman, and child. And so, we must have none of the nonsense that would try to justify our constant indulging in sin with always the hope that God will be merciful to us. The price of mercy is clear. The price was paid for by Christ and His mother, and it was a terrible price. It caused more suffering and pain in those two pure souls who never did anything to offend God the Father. It was the steepest of all prices because it was based on the deepest and most profound of all loves. The love of God, in order to prevent us from entering into the life of sin and hence risking losing Him for all eternity. But He will not force Himself upon anyone. He will simply offer in union with His mother, and the mother in union with the Son, that most profound statement of love that will be declared until the end of time. Because let us never mistake that while the mystical body is made up of many sinners, we need no look further than our nose in the morning. The mystical body in and of itself is pure because it is the body of Christ. We struggle with our weaknesses. And if we come to Christ, particularly during that holy sacrifice of the Mass, the same sacrifice that was offered up outside the gates of Jerusalem in order to prevent every pilgrim from entering into that wicked city which it had become, that price is offered to each and every one. All the human soul needs to do is stop, stand by, and look upon the Lord with the compassion, the same compassion that the Mother of God looked upon her slaughtered Son. And then we too, after He is handed to His mother, He will be handed to us. And then we will truly know what love is. That love loved us so much that He was willing to die for us. And that the mother, in receiving the dead Christ, received every soul lost to Him from mortal sin, so that through Him they may be restored to true life. And the life of Devas is not life at all. Because He tells us Himself that it is a place of torment. And so, let us have none of the scientific sensuality of our day, the attempt to justify everything we know to be contrary to the will of God, contrary to the love manifested on Calvary by Christ and Mary. Let us truly resolve to have nothing to do with the attempt to live as pagan Christians. We are either for Christ or we are against Him. In order to be before Him, we must know and firmly believe that all our riches, whether they be of the temporal order or of the intellectual order, are given to us to serve Christ and His mystical body. Devas kept everything to Himself. He was not generous, and so He was no imitator of the Mother of God, who in her generosity received the Son of God, knowing with full mind and heart that that same Savior would be slaughtered for the salvation of the world. She was not the poor, ignorant peasant girl who did not know what she was doing at the night of the Incarnation. For if she was, we have no hope. She knew she was receiving the eternal Son of the Father. And she knew that in accepting Him, she would be accepting all of us. That in giving birth to Him in the joy of the cave of Bethlehem, she would give birth to each and every one of us in the pain and suffering on Calvary. That is a love that we cannot possibly comprehend this side of heaven in its fullness. But it is the only love that will bring joy to the human heart, and it is the only love that we must set our minds and our hearts on. So this gospel message is a message to the family. Devas was brought up in a family that constantly saturated him with sensuality. If you don't like what mom and dad put before you, then we'll give you something you do like. And yet the staple of the Savior was barley bread, perhaps the most coarsest of all bread. And yet we pamper our children from the moment they are born, and we continue to try to pamper and comfort them in the wrong way until their death. And so they die like Dives, harder and harder. And on that final moment, when God's mercy and the crucifixion come knocking for the final attempt, as it did with Judas, with Herod, and with Dives, and Pilate, and all those, Caiaphas, they don't even recognize it, because they have thought too much of themselves and not enough of the love of Him who is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And so let us resolve never to follow the way of Dives, never to follow the way of the world. We have an obligation to love all those who are right now involved in turning over all that is of Christ, but we do not have an obligation to follow them. And too many are trying to do both at the same time. It cannot work. It ultimately means we fall by the wayside, where the good physician cannot reach us, because, as Abraham says, there is an infinite abyss that cannot be bridged between you and me. And the sons of light do not behold the sons of darkness. And so let us always live in the light, so that no one may depart from this life as children of the dark. We may journey through it in the darkness of spirit, in the doubts and everything that else that comes with fallen human nature, but let us always put our hope on that one candle that burns most brightest, that candle that was lit by the Mother of God and consumed on Calvary. And when He finally burned out in the flesh, He declared to His Father, "It is consummated." That is, the love necessary to purchase them back, Father, has been paid. Now please, I beg you, through the maternal mediation of my mother, to give them life in me, so that all of them may join us in that abode, in that kingdom, where only the Lazarus of this world dwell, and there is no part of Dives or his world. And that is our happiness, and that is what we must seek if we are to attain all that our heart desires, all that our minds desire, can only be satisfied in him and his love.